This hour of Overdrive is delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com. Never filtered, always fun.
You have access to anything that's awful in the world. Noodles has access to it. Have you ever met anybody like him? He rolls in here every day. He's like, do you guys hear about this story? We're like, no, we have no idea what you're talking about.
I read papers and I watch the news.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
I was just thinking of something seeing you today. Like, I don't know if I have to give you a handbook on dumb things. You don't get a haircut before you go to Vegas with your buddies. How dumb is that?
I don't mind that. I think that's a veteran move. Here's why I think it's a veteran move.
No, you don't do it.
He didn't do it. You're going Friday, right?
Right.
You go to Vegas looking like Zach Galifianakis, beard ugly.
No. I like that you got
anyway,
the cut on,
but just grow a beard.
I like that you got the cut on Monday so that it's perfectly grown in on a Friday.
What's
like
wrong
Friday
with that,
night in Vegas at the bar, you're going to be show stopping.
You think so? Fabio,
I think so.
In Vegas?
Exactly. You'll be Fabio.
So if I was dating a girl and the hair was all dolled up and the tea bag came out in the luggage to go to Vegas, I'd be like, "Why do you want to look so good?" Why?
Wait, you don't think girls dress up in Vegas?
Dude, you don't think I have firsthand information on what girls dress up like in Vegas?
Absolutely. We all do. So why does it matter what you think you saw going into the suitcase? I can tell you what she's wearing once she gets there.
Right.
So it doesn't matter, dude.
I just think it's a rookie.
What do you want me to do? The wife flies down there, you want her to be like no makeup, haggard.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Wearing sweatpants at the pool.
The bottom line is, let's just be honest here, everybody loves attention. You want, hey, how's it going, blah, 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 blah.
Right. What's your point?
I'm just saying, it's a rookie move.
Okay,
it's
so you want me to get my hair cut when? When I'm in Vegas?
I think you get off the plane, you go to a barber and say, hey, doctor this up for tonight.
That's even worse.
That'll go over well. Then I fly home and my hair is perfect. I got on the bird looking like a slob. I come off of it looking perfect.
I think the ideal move is 10 days prior to takeoff.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
No.
Maybe you're right.
Because then it's kind of discreet and it's nobody's raising an eyebrow. It's just a haircut.
Well, listen, man, this could
turn. You did it 5 days before the trip.
It could turn into a business trip. I might be going to the hockey game on Friday night.
There you go. You are going.
No, we're not going, I don't think.
What?
But if I do, maybe I'll get the media pass. If I'm up in the media, you know, the press box.
You got to look good. You got to present.
I'm representing Overdrive, representing TSN Radio.
Exactly.
So I have to make sure that I look good.
Well, you'll be
dude,
three.
You're
going to
have Brad Pitt hair by Friday at 5 p.m.
Right.
It'll grow in perfectly. It'll be Brad Pitt hair.
Thank you.
Yeah, but you bet if you go to the game and you've had a time at the pool that day.
Oh, I'm putting my career on the line.
Exactly.
I'm not. That's why I'm not even going to do it.
We're going to get in a fist fight with Gary Lawless.
Just mud wrestling with Gary Lawless.
You and Gary in between the second and the third, right in the middle of the pit.
All over Austin Matthews versus Patrick Laine.
Yeah.
We just bring up the past and the article.
Yelling and screaming, nose to nose, and you decide to go at it with him because you've been overserved at the pool in Vegas.
Well, Gary would have the kind of clout to potentially get me banned for life from Vegas. So
yeah.
I don't think I'm going to mess around with Gary Lawless anytime soon.
You could
soon,
ban him from this show if you wanted to.
I guess you're right. I would have the power to do that. But that was a big win last night for Vegas. I mean,
they look good. And I think O said it yesterday where second half of the game, maybe the third period, you can give like – in that first game that Vegas started to turn it on a little bit, you knew there was going to be a response. I thought the Flower played well, but he had a couple lucky bounces early on. The first three or four minutes, pucks were going through him out the other side, and then it was almost like, okay, Vegas took over. And
it's crazy the response, though. Like, they're responding. It's like quality championship teams, if it was the Blackhawks of 3 or 4 years ago or the LA Kings or the Pittsburgh Penguins, you would say... I mean, I think you bet on the win yesterday, didn't you?
Legally,
you did.
For an expansion team to think that they're going to have the proper response and then follow through with it, it's insane.
But that's how far we've come. Like, that's where we're at now with this team.
And it should be that way, because they're that good.
They're in the Final Four.
And they have that mentality. You could see on the bench the first game where Gerard Gallant was like, he's pissed off. And he's like, we're going to be better, and this one's done. And I'm like, these guys have this vibe about them where they have these expectations, which is insane.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's genuine. They believe they will win a Stanley Cup, or at least should win a Stanley Cup. And Winnipeg, it's going to be a long series, man.
Yeah.
Because now they're going into the gravel pit. I mean, Vegas is a really difficult barn to win in. It has been all year. And that building will be rocking for games 3 and game 4. And
I think you should go. I'm going to throw one other thing at you. The time change. That's a 5 o'clock game out there. I'm sorry.
It's 3 hours behind. I think it's a 5 o'clock start.
Or two? I think it may be two right now.
I don't know.
Either way, that could be a 6 o'clock start or a 5 o'clock start.
8 o'clock start in Vegas. No,
Eastern time.
5 o'clock start Vegas time.
When
do you get there?
I land around 1 local. That gives me 4 hours in the casino before I walk over to the rink.
I thought you said. Do we have the clip where he's like,
"I'm 3 hours"? Sorry.
I'm never going to a game in Vegas.
I'm telling you, dude. I've told you already. We're not going. We're not. For starters, the prices are outrageous. Like, this is a big issue in Winnipeg, I guess, that they didn't sell out the game last night.
Yeah, there was a couple hundred tickets left on the table. Because,
and it's, as many people pointed out, it's not because the fans are not interested. It's because the team and the league have outpriced a lot of too many fans.
Yeah.
You know, like it.
I don't understand the need. Like, I saw the tweets, some of the mentions of it. Like, let's. I know you don't believe in support Winnipeg, and that's fine if you don't want to do that. But do you really got to try to take a sky dump on Winnipeg for 200 tickets?
Well, it's a fact, though. It is.
I get it, but I mean, our buddies.
Sky dump on Winnipeg.
Really? Like, should the narrative really be really disappointed that 200 tickets are not sold? Like, do you got to go there?
Well, I don't think that's genuine. I don't see why anybody in Toronto cares if tickets are sold or not sold. I mean, you don't have any skin in the game.
I get it, but really to nitpick like that and just say, like, you're taking a sky dump on Winnipeg.
Well, but the thing is, I don't think it's on the fans. Like, nobody is debating the fandom in Winnipeg. Nobody's debating the passion. I mean, there's 30,000 people outside the rink.
Yeah.
They would love to go in the rink, but they're not paying $700 for a ticket.
You know what? If a guy wrote that article and said, really disappointing, people aren't going to the games. If I was a Joe Blow that was making whatever kind of money, I would say, kiss my ass. I can't afford to
but
go.
That's
what do you
my
want
point.
Me to do?
The article should not be directed towards the fans who are not willing to pay the money.
Right.
It should be directed at the team and the league for overcharging.
Right.
This is what is at stake here. This, from my standpoint, what's embarrassing here is that the Winnipeg Jets have outpriced their fans. And that should never happen. It happens
never.
In Toronto all the time.
Yeah, it happens on the in Toronto on a Tuesday night in November, but that's just the market here.
Right.
There's no changing that.
And there's a lot more people and a lot more money in Toronto than there is in Winnipeg.
But I found that peculiar, but I knew the answer as well. Like, you can go to the building outside and cheer and watch it for free. Go inside, cost you $700 in the nosebleeds, maybe obstructed view. So there's a lot of working class people there that probably can't get in the building or don't want to spend that money. They want to be right there for the atmosphere.
And I don't blame them. Like, I would love to be in the building. I would love to go to these games. These are the biggest games in franchise history.
Yep.
But I'm not paying $500, $600, $700.
What was the cheapest ticket available last night?
I don't know.
Night?
I don't know exactly what was available, but obviously it was highly priced because if it was reasonable, they would sell it.
For sure.
They would sell it. I mean, there's tens of thousands of people that love the team and are watching the team more than that.
And
that would
right.
happily show up. And you know the way the Prairies travel too, man. People would drive in from 3, 4, 5 hours away.
Easily.
To go to a game.
It just, I saw that online debate, but you know, I think there's context to it, and the context is that they were priced out. Maybe there were single seats. There's probably some single seats kicking around.
That can happen.
You know, where you're not be able to sit with a loved one. Like
that happens at the ACC the way it's built.
Yeah.
I know that for a fact.
Yeah,
which would suck. Why would you want to go and only be by yourself?
Yeah.
Like, why would you pay a lot of money to sit in between two people you don't know and you've never met?
Right.
That'd be terrible.
It would be.
For that kind of price.
Well, if you got a couple of doorknobs, like...
But you don't know what you're walking into. If you buy a single seat, you're seat number 14. You don't know who's at 15 and 13.
Yeah.
And you have no idea. Could be the greatest guys in the world. Could be a couple of donkeys.
Yeah. Could be a couple of coaches that try to talk. What was that poll we had that one day? The guy in the crowd who was narrating?
Well, that was leading into Game 7. The
Who's the worst kind of guy to sit beside for the game?
Yeah.
Right.
It was Drunk guy, play-by-play guy?
Or fan of the opposition guy?
Oh, that's right.
Jeff texting in with an interesting point. He said, everyone took a sky dump on Ottawa last year when they weren't selling out. What's the difference this year?
Well, I think Ottawa was a little more dramatic, wasn't it? I mean, they were blocking off areas.
There was a lot of seats, and there wasn't, from my account, 25,000 people outside the building.
That's a fact. That was not the case.
Right. Well, because their building's in a farm field.
Right, and there were people sending us notes saying you could have had tickets for $18 or whatever it was, $63.
I don't think it's
I don't think that's the case here in Winnipeg. If there was a ticket for probably $50 to $60 available last night, I would feel that it would have been scooped up.
I think so, too.
Is it a poll? What fan base in sports gets the biggest sky dump?
Yeah. I mean, we got to come up with four options.
Cleveland Browns?
Well, Cleveland is...
I don't think the fans take us... Like, the team sky dumps all over the fans based on their way they operate.
I read the coach is taking the plunge into for charity, jumping into cold water.
Yeah, I read that. I don't remember what the context was, though.
They went 1-15, and he said, we're going to have a better record next year, and if I don't, I'll jump into Lake Erie.
Right, and they went 0-16.
Went 0-16, and he said, I'm going to do it. But then I was reading a sidebar on it that apparently he has some sort of a heart condition or whatever, and the doctors wouldn't allow him to do it right away. Now he's going to do it for charity and have a bunch of people. And he's putting up $100 for everyone who does it with him.
So wait a minute. The doctors said
Him to do the plunge.
Yeah, because you have a heart attack.
Because he has some sort of
condition. Of the temperature of Lake Erie, like now you got to wait until the spring, so it starts to warm up. Okay,
There are those people that jump naked into ice water and stuff.
Yeah, the polar dive or what's that called?
My brother does polar bear. The polar bear plunge.
What?
He does that on.
Does
January
it for
1st?
cops and
well for charity or something.
Yeah, exactly.
He doesn't do it on a Sunday just for
Special
fun.
Olympics.
Well, a lot of people do it January 1st, like on New Year's Day. You go down to Lake Ontario, and for whatever reason, you start your new year jumping into the lake.
I did that cryo freeze where your body that scared the hell out of me. Have you ever heard that?
Like, no,
where
I don't think so.
And I think the Leafs have one. I wouldn't surprise me if the Leafs have one at their training facility.
It's the cryo freeze?
The cryo. I don't want to speak out of turn. I just know that it's. You go in and it's like minus 100.
So are you you're in a box kind of thing?
Your head is the only. Phil.
Oh, I remember that. I saw the one with
remember
Phil.
Remember the hair hanging out?
Yeah.
He was in the cryo chamber or whatever it was. I did that in Slovakia. I was a little nervous. Because I wasn't sure I was coming out of there.
Yeah, if there's a glitch, you're in big trouble.
It's supposed to be amazing for the body. I haven't done enough research of it, but they offered it to when we were on this charity tournament. I said, oh, I'll try it out. It was really cold. Like I was.
Did it help you though? Like, did it help you recover? Or
I felt better. Like I was. We had played a bunch of games in a row, and you know, at my age, you don't recover as quickly. It helped with the recovery. And that's where it was Chara and Gabrick and some of those guys were saying, yeah, we do it all the time. Do it. So I jumped.
Well, it's interesting. Like, that obviously is not considered a performance-enhancing drug.
No.
But it does kind of help you cut corners and helps you recover quickly. And to segue into the news of the day in baseball with Robinson Cano, who was suspended 80 games earlier today, tested positive for taking a diuretic. So what a diuretic is it's used to mask steroids, essentially, or PEDs.
And he's come out with the same garbage statement.
Never done it. Well, 15
didn't mean
years.
To. He admitted that he took it. He said a doctor in the Dominican gave it to him, and I guess it can be used for other ailments and other issues.
Right.
I believe heart failure or strokes and... but of course, he went through with the typical, I didn't know it was a banned substance, and if I did, I never would have taken it, blah, blah, blah.
Well,
can you imagine an athlete making that much money, their agent not saying, or don't you have a guy to say you can't take that?
I hope that it. You hope. I want one of these guys to, for it to be legit. Like maybe there was, like, for example, Jose Theodore took Propecia or something, and it was on one of the banned lists.
But Nicholas Backstrom at the Olympics, remember, he legitimately took like a Sudafed or something like that because he had the flu or whatever, and they're like, that's a banned substance, and he's like, okay, sorry, I had the flu, I was trying to recover for the game.
But it doesn't sound like. Like, you see some guys who are jacked or their recovery or whatever. Like,
but the only question I have is I've been a fan of this guy since his Yankee days. He's one of the best second basemen to play in the game. How long has he been doing it? Has he been doing it the whole time? Like, I don't even know why I would like watching a player like that.
Well, this is what is so fascinating for me. I think what you just pointed out is what makes this so interesting. And it goes back to what Bonds was going through and Clemens and A-Rod. You just said when you're making this kind of money, he already made the money. Like, he made a fortune in New York, and then he signed one of those monster 10-year deals in Seattle. This is not about getting the next contract.
No.
This is about keeping the stats alive.
Right.
That's what Bonds was doing. That's
about the Hall of Fame, too.
Absolutely.
And now it's all gone.
And that is a different spin on this than what we generally approach it with. A lot of times we think of the guy in AAA who's taking roids to make it to the bigs. But a guy like Robinson Cano, unless he's been doing it his whole career and it's all been fraudulent, it makes you wonder why you felt you needed to start taking it now. Like, that's always been the case with Bonds. Like, prior to him taking roids, he was already a Hall of Famer, one of the all-time greats.
Right.
So why did you feel like you had to? Was it because everybody else was? I mean, I'm sure that's what McGuire. He would tell you off the record. McGuire, the same thing. He was a Bash brother and was more than likely going to the Hall of Fame.
And Canseco, they're Bash brothers.
Started taking roids. So with Cano, I mean, he was already making money. He's already established himself.
Yeah,
why take the roids, and how long have you been taking them? That's the question.
Well, how many arguments are there that people say, you're right, that argument doesn't make sense because he already made a ton of money, already has the stats, but a minor leaguer who sneaks around it all of a sudden develops and, hey,
that happens all the time. Chris Colabello is a perfect example.
Right.
And honestly, as much as you don't want to see it happen, and I'm not saying that it should happen, I can understand where these guys are like, you're telling me I can either ride the buses clean or make it to the majors dirty?
Yeah.
I'm going to give it a shot. Like, that's a lot of times what guys are dealing with. They're like, if I can stay in the majors for a little bit more, make some more money, I'm going to take it. And if I get caught, whatever, because if I was clean, I wouldn't be playing anyway.
But that's not the case with a guy like Cano. How do you think you're never going to get caught? I don't know. It'd be interesting to see a documentary on how many guys did it for a long time and didn't get caught. I don't know how you don't get caught, because when you piss in a cup.
But that's where this, like, diuretic comes in. Like, that's what was caught here. But maybe Cano's been doing whatever he's been doing for years, but the masking agent was always effective, and they never picked up on it. And then all of a sudden, he screwed up the dosage on the diuretic. That gets picked up, and they're like, okay, what are you really hiding?
Right.
And now you're dealing with what you're dealing with.
And they dig into it deeper. That's where if you're just on a diuretic, you could probably not justify that. But if they start digging deeper into it, what are you hiding?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. Like I say, I played with lots of guys who were on the sauce. At that point in the NHL, it wasn't it wasn't banned. I mean, there were monsters that I played with where they walked out of the shower. You knew exactly who the guys on the sauce were.
Well, in hockey and football, it doesn't hold the same stigma as it does in baseball.
Right.
Like, because of the connection to Cooperstown and how, you know, Bonds isn't going to get in, A-Rod isn't going to get in, Clemens won't get in. At least it doesn't feel like they're ever going to get in.
Right.
Baseball, it is so frowned upon, and it has become such a forefront issue that we talk about, and no one believes any of the players, and everyone feels kind of like it's still going on. Where in football, like, if someone gets clipped for PEDs, you're like, whatever. Yeah, I kind of expected that. And hockey doesn't have a rich history of it, but if a guy does get clipped, you're like, nah. Like, I don't think anyone would care. Like, if you found out that one of the all-time great hockey players was taking roids, would it affect the way you look at his legacy?
Well, let's put a guy on the table who's front and center right now, Alex Ovechkin.
Mm-hmm.
If you found out that Ovi was sauced up all these years,
would it affect the way you feel about him? Would you say he shouldn't be in the Hockey Hall of Fame?
Yes.
You really?
Would. Yeah, because you were you were feeling better than everybody else. You were stronger. Your wicked shot that we talk about all the time and we talk about on SportsCenter, it was better than it should have been because you were juiced up. How could you not think about that? If you're a guy that's not juiced up, would you want to play against a guy that's on steroids?
Well, that's always been the discussion within the game. Like, you guys can speak to that, what it's like from a player's perspective. I've always said from a fan's perspective, I don't personally care.
Right. Like, if you see the great product.
Exactly. Just entertain me. Like, I know that's a simplistic view, but it's the truth. Like, it applies to baseball, too. Like, it doesn't change the way I feel about Robinson Cano and watching him hit for the past decade.
I don't know. It's a really... It's a spicy meatball.
It's a very complicated.
Hockey's different than baseball too, because sometimes I've taken the approach on baseball where it's like Barry Bonds. You know what? He took roids, but he still hit the ball. You still got to hit it out of the park.
Still need hand eye.
Right.
You still need to be coordinated.
But
right?
what is the effect? Like what is the help?
Well, that's where you raise an interesting point, because in hockey it used to be a lot of just the tough guys.
Yeah.
Now. Brian and I were talking off air. You remember a couple years ago the Leafs' Carter Ashton got clipped, and it's a different type. It's a recovery drug. It's a leaning agent. It's not about making a guy 250 pounds so that he can lift a truck over his head. Now it's leaning out. It's speed. Yeah.
For guys like Carter Ashton, you could give him the Ben Johnson steroids, and he's not going to get any better. Like.
Well, that's
period.
The truth, right?
Yeah. Like, there's some guys you can give performance-enhancing drugs to. They're not getting any better. So what the hell does it matter? But there's other guys that have the talent where it's like, give them the needle, watch out.
Okay, so let's take a couple of the young players as an example in today's world. You give Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, and William Nylander, Patrick Laine, like all of these young kids, if they took performance-enhancing drugs... And they've got the skill. McDavid. Like,
well,
I don't know if his recovery or if his speed. Like, I don't have a rich enough history with
no, me neither. I've never used them before. But you look at a guy like McDavid, and you're like, why would he? What else does he need? You know what I mean? Like, what could he possibly use that would... where would that improve his game?
It could increase stamina so that you could play him 25 minutes a night. Maybe that's something.
Maybe.
At some point, if this becomes a hot button topic, we should get somebody who has knowledge of steroids. Like not a guy who's a jackass about it, but somebody tell us what this could do for player X.
Right.
I would find that.
Well, like by all accounts, again, there's a lot of different options in terms of the type of PEDs you're going to use.
And I've been around it in my playing days, and the guys that I saw take it were in certain roles and in certain areas. But I did see it in other leagues too. And you have to be responsible about it. I think you just want a level playing field.
Here's the thing too that has been brought up in the past and usually maybe doesn't get brought up at the right times is if you're using like a freezing agent, if you freeze someone's foot.
Right.
That's a steroid. Like you're allowing that, you're changing their body.
Right.
But no one cares about that. You know what I mean? Like if you're in a series with a guy and he's legitimately hurt, but he can take something that doesn't make him hurt anymore.
Well, you see it all the times after the series are over. Oh, this guy was playing with this.
Yeah.
Well, how the hell was he playing with that?
He was getting shot up before every single game. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, Robinson Cano again suspended 80 games, and he's going to accept the suspension. Carl Ravitch from ESPN, MLB on MLB on ESPN will join us around 6:30. Dregs coming up from Denmark, Canada winning earlier today against the Olympic silver medalist. That's a huge achievement for Canada. How do you beat Germany? Germany was a rock star at the Olympics. What a huge win.
Throw in Connor McDavid, maybe.
Yeah, it kind of helps.
Yeah. I'm joking, obviously. and it's the NBA draft lottery tonight, and we'll get into what happened last night in Houston between the Warriors and the Rockets. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. So we had Mackenzie Hughes on the show yesterday, who had a fun, entertaining, quality weekend at the Players.
Yeah.
Tiger Woods, we talked a lot about him yesterday as well. Webb Simpson actually won the tournament. Lucas Glover did not have as fun of a weekend.
No.
This story is breaking. This is breaking news. I guess Lucas Glover is a pretty good player, right? Like, he won the U.S. Open back in 09. He went home. He lives in Jacksonville. And he didn't have a great round. He didn't have a great tournament. And his wife, Krista, attacked him on Saturday, calling him the P-word and a loser because he played poorly. And it really got bad. I mean, he allegedly she attacked him. She attacked his mom. They had to call the cops. She got arrested. And then she was like really, she's very unruly with the cops. And at one point, while resisting arrest, allegedly said, quote, "This is why cops get shot in the face," end quote.
Wow.
That is a tough one for Lucas Glover.
Now, is she...
That's a tough one for her. She's going to go to jail for
that. Well, yeah. I mean, she was charged with domestic abuse, I believe, or violence, but...
Yeah,
man.
But you uttering threats to a cop, like, that's... Man, they... But, you know, they're... I'm sure they were very cordial with her, but that stuff, it's ridiculous.
Well,
she,
this guy,
I mean,
man.
She whether she's
she must
drunk
have been
or not.
Sipping on grandpa's cough medicine.
That's what they. Yeah, she had been drinking throughout the day.
I guess,
which is not surprising.
But still, it's not an excuse to act like that.
No.
You imagine if that the shoe was on the other foot.
Well, he'd be done. He'd be off the tour, and
yeah.
You know, it's,
why are we going to even say anything negative about her?
What's that?
You don't have anything negative to say? I mean, this is outrageous, clearly.
I think it's outrageous.
You make a negative comment about her, some jackass is going to say, oh.
No, she's an idiot.
Don't talk about a woman like that. No kidding.
But that's not being disrespectful. I'm talking about the situation. She's an idiot, and I hope that he divorces her and rinses her in the divorce.
Well, I don't know what he would be getting out of it. I mean, he, I guess, said to the cops.
You can't rinse somebody in a divorce like that, no matter what happens, stupid behavior. Well, whatever you had from the start of the marriage and made, you split it.
Well, did tell authorities.
A little birdie told me that.
That his wife had been drinking all day. Man, that's just.
Yeah.
It's,
well, and
it's
I guess
unacceptable.
She had threatened Glover in the past that, like, if he plays poorly, she's going to leave him and take the kids and he's never going to see the kids again.
That's brutal.
She should never see the kids again.
Well, no kidding. After that kind of activity, I would think so. But we'll see what happens. But now Glover. I would guess he'll probably be playing this weekend, or he's got his tour card. He's playing all the time. He'll be at the U.S. Open in a few weeks. This would be a story I would
he's
think
a U.S.
people are
Open
talk
winner.
About. I know he won it in 09.
Yeah, Beth Page.
Man, that sucks.
Yeah.
Like on a lot of different levels. But, I mean, now it'll come out that she probably has problems. I mean, that's signs of problems. She's probably an alcoholic or something. I don't want to speak out of turn.
Yeah. Anyway,
either way, it's
Lucas
awful.
Glover, not the best weekend at the Players.
No.
Vladdy Guerrero Jr. is hitting over 400 in the minors. He's got over 1,100 OPS. And today in Toronto, that feels like the big story. Scotty Mack was talking about it all day. Everyone's like, you got to get Vladdy.
Scotty Mack wants him up here.
Yeah, he made a pretty strong case for it. So we'll get into that. Darren Dreger will join us. Amin El-Hassan from ESPN at 5:30 on the NBA Draft Lottery tonight. Game 2 of the Celtics Cavs game tonight.
I also saw a food move today that I think is highly unacceptable. We'll discuss next.
So we were talking a lot about the gambling stuff yesterday, and I've come up with a couple of props. So we're going to have some prop bets around 6 p.m.
Nice.
Some overdrive-specific prop bets with the Leafs. All right, I'll explain it more later in the afternoon. So, Dreg's coming up just after 5. You have a food story you want to get to at some point.
Now?
Is it worth it?
I don't know.
What do you have for us?
I saw a grown woman dip French fries into mayonnaise, and I can never look at that.
Yeah, that's
There's
awful.
Something about mayonnaise. I think it should only be on a BLT. That's it.
In Europe, don't they put mayonnaise on fries all the time?
Yeah, mayonnaise is big over there.
I just can't. There's something that grosses me out. I can't do it.
Yeah, I'm with you, man.
I went on a date and someone dipped a French fry in a mayonnaise. Never again.
I'm not a mayonnaise guy.
No. You can't do it. Anyway.
I think that's a no guy.
Yeah, it's three no guys around the table. I'm with you.
You can't do it, right?
No, you can't do it. But people have their own thing, right?
Have
you ever seen anyone dip a fry into relish?
No, that's disgusting.
Come on,
too, dude.
I've never seen mustard, relish.
See, but I don't like any of those.
Mayonnaise is a rare one, too, but I don't like it. I can't look at it.
Like, why not mustard? Why does mustard not happen with fries? Like, how did mustard just get screwed there?
Okay, well, where are you guys on the food chain? Like, I'm not a big mustard guy. I like ketchup. That's about it. But
I like ketchup. I like mustard.
I don't mind ketchup.
Yes, you like ketchup.
You've been known to ask if there's ketchup on that.
But I mean, is there ketchup on that?
Other than that, like, I don't care for, like, poutine is a stretch for me.
You don't like poutine?
No, gravy, I'm not a big
ketchup. Oh, I love a poutine.
Do people put ketchup and gravy on their poutine?
Like, yeah, man, the thing is about poutine, dude, you go to, like, the poutine shops,
yeah,
and they put, like, roast beef in there.
See,
and eggs and...
At your wedding, you had that truck. And I went back like four
No, that was
times.
Mullen's truck. That was at Mullen's wedding.
Sorry, Mullen's truck, yeah.
He had the truck. That was a great call.
That was unreal. I went back like
truck,
four
right?
times.
You had a truck, right?
Yeah, it was all-you-can-eat poutine truck.
Yeah, it was a great idea.
That was ridiculous.
But
I went back like four times.
45 beers deep. Yeah. I mean, at that point.
Yeah, I took it deep that night. But I was more concerned about how much food I was intaking. And it was, I could feel my arteries hardening at the time.
That was a great idea.
A food truck.
Like a poutine food truck when you're knee deep in good times.
Yeah, it was
a very
good
idea.
I enjoyed it.
So this Vladdy Guerrero Jr. stuff, I saw a tweet earlier. Well, I mean, from a fan's perspective, he would make it interesting, and I think he would help the team. Like, let's be honest, this guy is performing. Like, look at these stats, okay? He's the youngest player in the Eastern League. He's the youngest player in AA. He has a .405 batting average. He's hitting over .400, and he's got over 1,100 OPS. And he has more three-hit games, five, than zero-hit games, four. Like, he clearly is a major league hitter. The only case against him coming up is service time. Like, the idea that if he comes up and he starts the clock, then he's going to become a free agent in 2025 as opposed to 2026. But as Scotty Mack pointed out many times this afternoon, and he's right, if Vladdy Guerrero Jr. turns into the superstar that we all believe he will be, he's number one rated prospect in baseball, and he's putting up numbers that are obscene in AA.
Right.
You're going to pay him a fortune well before that anyway.
Yeah, he's going to be locked into a long-term
contract.
Absolutely.
By 2023, he's going to be like, all right, pay me the way the Angels paid Mike Trout,
the way
Nationals paid Bryce Harper.
The only counter argument is how many times, and I don't know the baseball rate of this, but bringing a guy up too soon, it's always the big thing in hockey. Look what Detroit does. They overbaked them in the minors. They let them make sure they're fully ready. If you look what Toronto did with William Nylander, they were patient, and he still has some work to do and some another level to get to, but... Really, with a team like this, and I heard Scotty talking today, they believe they're content. They're not contending for squat.
They're contending maybe for the second wild card. Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. And Robinson Cano being out for 80 games does help the Blue Jays case because they're competing with Seattle. But they're also competing with the Angels in Houston. And
Yeah,
it doesn't feel like they're going to be in the hunt. And they're starting to come back to earth, and the rotation's been a disaster. But... You use the Nylander comparison. I think, based on his status, he's closer to Matthews.
I was going
to
say, isn't he higher up as far as prospects?
Absolutely.
I don't ever remember a time where William Nylander was the best player outside the NHL.
No, I don't believe.
And what's the harm in bringing him up for a sniff?
Well, because, again, the service time. Like, Atkins is going to say, well, now he starts the clock on his contract and blah, blah, blah. But that's 7-8 years down the road.
You got a talent like that. That type of language should not come into the...
But does Ross Atkins... I mean, I get that a general manager has to think of the future in a business standpoint, but I think there. Does he believe he's going to be the general manager 7-8 years from now, too?
Probably not, but you don't want to be reckless.
No, but that's...
You know, like, I appreciate thinking
it's
about
not,
the future.
I get it, but I think he thinks that his team isn't that good. Why put him in a situation right away?
That's more likely. I think that is hitting the nail on the head. I think if the Blue Jays really felt... Like, they were
this
contenders.
This is the missing piece. Get him up here.
And you bring him up, and boom, they're the Yankees.
Yeah.
He'd be up.
Yeah.
Because you don't worry about 2025 if you feel like you're contending in 2018.
They're using that loophole as an excuse not to bring him up.
Right.
Because they're protecting him. It's almost a Lewism, like, hey, we don't want these young guys doing media.
Mm-hmm.
Don't want this guy on the big stage right now. Or place him in a situation on a team that isn't that good. And
which I can appreciate. Like, again, selfishly as a fan, I'd love to see him up.
Well, for sure.
And, you know, he wants to be up because he wants to start playing in the majors, and he believes he can do it, and I believe he can do it, too. The numbers he's putting up and the scouting reports on this guy, they're absurd. I mean, he's a world-class talent. This guy's going to be a great player in Major League Baseball unless all hell breaks loose. But I can understand it from the Blue Jays' perspective, and I think what you just said is exactly how I would approach this. Is they're using the service time to really tell you that they don't believe this current team is that good. And even with Vladdy Guerrero, what's the point of wasting a season, so to speak, or maybe putting him in a position where something hurts him for a 78-win team that isn't going anywhere? Yeah. I think that's what they're saying. They're not going to say it publicly that we're not any good or we don't think we're that good.
Well, Vladdy Guerrero, he knows. I mean, he knows he's on the clock too. He's tweeting. Was it a tweet or
it was an Instagram post? It was a troll job. Like,
of course, he's like, hey, I'm in New York. Like, don't be shy to give me the call. He doesn't want to ride buses, and he wants to be in the majors.
I just think when you have a special talent like that, you just give him a little sniff and see where it goes. If you can clearly see he's not right, I don't think he. Steve Phillips or Scotty or you or anybody else could say something. I do not think he's a third baseman. I think he's a first baseman, just for his body type.
Why?
Well, I don't know what kind of range. What does he think? He's the panda?
Well, Sandoval did play third.
I mean, know, but I don't think he's as... I don't know. I just don't see him as a third baseman.
He could be a first baseman. You know, he's probably going to DH. If you bring him up, first of all, he's way better than Kendrys Morales. Like, absolutely, right now, this second, he's a better option than Kendrys Morales. But Morales is due another $20 million, and Atkins and Shapiro signed him. Those are the politics.
After this year or just this year?
This year and next year. He's got one more year after this.
Jeez Louise.
Michelle tweeting and saying, I spent 3 years in Italy. I can confirm mayonnaise is their go-to on fries over there.
Wow.
And it grows on you.
What?
Michelle is contending that I guess she was anti-mayonnaise on fries, but after a few years in Italy, she started doing it.
You know why it grows on you? Because it's the only option they put on the table for you, probably.
Well, I'd rather just bland fries.
I mean, salt and pepper's fine for me, but I would demand a little ketchup. You could even put marinara on it. Would you put marinara or mayonnaise on it if you're in Italy?
Marinara.
For sure.
Every day of the week. Yeah.
Like, you got to find a way, especially you're in Italy. Why are you eating fries in Italy?
Well, that's a good point.
Maybe that's what, Michelle, you're in trouble now because you're eating fries. I guess.
But I would think over 3 years, you're there for 3 years. Every once in a while, you're like mixing a Swiss Chalet or something or a best Portuguese chicken.
That's true. 3 years, you're right. It's not like
you can't have pasta every single night.
We're going there this summer. And
yeah, but you're going there for a weekend or a week. You're not there for 3 years.
That's true. I would spend 3 years. If I could do overdrive from Italy, I'd live there.
Where would you stay, though? Rome? Is Rome your place?
Yeah,
or?
Rome. Even like Cinque Terre. I can't roll the tongue and do all that. That's on the northern coast. I enjoy that.
Right.
It's a nice place. It's
if
beautiful.
I went to Italy, it would just be spaghetti and meatballs at lunch and then shut the mill.
Well, it is heavy food.
That's the problem, man. If you're walking around, you overeat at lunch.
Everybody in Italy apparently takes a nap after lunch.
Well, that's the European way. Everyone goes and sleeps.
The siesta. 2 to 4.
Yeah.
Shut the mill. I had a buddy during the lockout who was playing in the NHL, went and played in Italy. He said it was a ghost town. He'd be rattled. Like, after practice, he'd go for lunch. He's like, can't find a place open. No.
And don't try to call them. Don't anything.
They're done.
You're out. They're out. But out of commission.
But you can eat dinner at 11 o'clock at night. And
well, that's the big thing. Like in Greece, that's what they do. They have dinner at like 10:30 at night.
Yeah.
You call ahead and you try to book a reservation for like 7 o'clock. They're like, you can get in.
Barely open. Yeah.
Why would you come at 7? I'm like, I don't know. We're on a normal eating routine.
Yeah, but that's I love Italy on all different levels.
Yeah,
I've never had a bad meal in Italy, ever.
Really? Well, I'm sure it's possible to get a bad meal.
I know, but we got lost, and I stopped at a gas station to ask directions, and there was a salami sandwich behind the counter, like underneath in the cooler. I ordered it. It was one of the best salami and cheese sandwich. That they're probably laughing at me as I walked out. Like that was probably the their equivalent of like 7-Eleven or something. You know, like 3 a.m. food, eating chicken fingers out of a 7-Eleven.
No, it's the machine out there has the egg salad sandwiches.
Yeah. But I ate it, and it was one of the best sandwiches I've ever had in my life.
Shout out. Dreg's coming up from Denmark just after 5 in the NBA draft lottery tonight in Game 2 of the Cavs-Celtics. We'll get into that. And the Golden State Warriors, I mean, is this even fun anymore? Is it fair anymore?
No, they're just destroying everyone.
Overdrive continues, TSN 1050. Overdrive is delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com. We'll head over to Copenhagen, catch up with Darren Dreger. Canada off to the quarterfinals. They'll play Russia. Get an update on Kyle Turris and his equipment. If you missed that story, we'll tell you about it. And look back on Vegas beating the Jets in Game 3, Tampa, Washington. Also, the NBA draft lottery tonight. And what's up with Golden State? Can they possibly be stopped? That and more coming up. Hour 2, Overdrive continues on the TSN app.
You've been listening to Overdrive, delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com.